2FM Mornings
with Laura Fox
Podcast.
Sponsored by Maxall. From kids' lunches to tonight's dinner, you'll find bags more to get you through the week at Maxall.
Now, summer in the sunshine is a big part of what gets most of us through our working year. But what if you don't feel that you look the part? Finding the confidence to enjoy your precious time off is so incredibly important. And travel and lifestyle writer Tara Povey has been living it and loving it. And she's here to tell us how. Tara, you're very welcome along to the show.
Thanks so much for having me, Laura.
No, thank you for joining us this morning. I want to talk to you first about the insecurity that people feel about their beach body. Like, how would you describe that?
I just think summer is hot, the sun is shining, you're gonna have less clothes on, you're in bikinis on the beach, and there's a lot more pressure there, and not everyone is kind of at one or comfortable in showing all that skin, and they feel a lot more pressure. In winter, if you have insecurities, you're covered up, there's lots of layers.
Yeah.
But in summer, there's nowhere to hide, whether it be like the size of your body, scars, skin conditions, everything's just a lot more on display so people can feel more self-conscious.
I feel as well like Irish people too, because like that, it's not like we have a, you know, a guaranteed run of the summer. You know, you don't have the 3 months that other countries might have. So when you're going on holidays, it's kind of for that really short amount of time, that 2 weeks. You can build it up in your head so much about, you know, being like, oh my God, but I don't look, and I don't, there's no practice yeah. run almost. You know?
And there's a lot of pressure, I think, because you only have that small window. Yeah. Maybe you've only got that one sun holiday, or we have like one heat wave in the year. You feel the pressure to like look your best, whatever that means to you. Mm. And, you know, maybe to get the content with social media, to have yeah. a nice photo of you in your swimwear, that kind of thing when you're on holiday, or you feel like you're going to be in more pictures. There's just a lot to think about, and it's all around a short window of time, and people can put a lot of pressure on themselves.
We'll talk about the photographs again in a second, but I want to talk about you first, Tara, because what gave you the fear to essentially, or the push to feel the fear and kind of strip off anyway?
I think that is a lot about who I am. I'm always kind of, if I'm afraid of something, I feel like I don't want the fear to rule my life. So mm-hmm. then I will make sure that I do that anyway, no matter what it is, whether it's like public speaking or being in a bikini in public or anything like that. But also, I think with social media, I feel a lot of pressure to set a good example for people, because like I personally struggled with disordered eating when I was younger, and I didn't feel like back in the early 2000s, like teenage me had a lot of good role models who were, you know, different shapes and sizes. Yeah. So I suppose I want to kind of be that maybe for younger people. So that kind of gives me the push to do it.
The noughties was a wicked time. Oh. And it's, you know, we're all still suffering from the trauma of that. But I enjoy that our generation is not trying to pass that on. It's very much trying to stop the book here.
Yeah, I think it was such a terrible time. It was like, you know, when they were putting in tabloids, like the weight of, you know, celebrities and that yeah. kind of thing, and dissecting people's bodies. Like, and we just thought that was normal. And when you look back at it now, you're like, oh my God.
Mental.
Like, completely
mental.
Unacceptable.
So we all
like,
have such unhealthy
but that's
relationships.
What we were, yeah. yeah. So a lot of us, I think, who grew up as teenagers in the 2000s kind of have, like, there's a danger that we slip into being too critical of ourselves. Mm-hmm. And I think we have to be quite, you know, cautious about not passing that on, because we were raised basically thinking that it was okay to be critical of other people's bodies and yeah. our own.
You have got a load of great tips for people overcoming anxiety. What was the first one? What would be the first one that you give to our listeners right now?
I think it's just to remember that nobody's paying attention to you. Like, nobody is looking at you the way that you think they're looking at you. Like, I think you can kind of remember that when you think about how you look at other people. If you're staring at somebody in the streets, probably because you like their jacket or you think their hair looks great, you're not looking at them because you're thinking, oh Jesus, they shouldn't have worn that. You know yeah. what I mean? Most of us are thinking positive thoughts about other people around us, or we're not thinking about them at all. So I think when you realize that nobody's really looking at you, it's very freeing. Like, nobody's paying attention to
you. Isn't it mad when you put yourself in that position? Like, you're standing on the beach and all you're thinking about is yourself. Everybody else is doing the same thing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Everyone, I always think about that. Like, if you're meeting someone who you think is like a great inspiration, like I always remind myself, like, they're just a person. And mm-hmm. like everybody else that you see on the beach is just a person. They have their own insecurities, so they're probably not, for the most part, judging you. So just get out there and do what you want to do.
Let's talk about how important it is to reconnect with your body.
Yeah, so I did this anytime I have like a disruption in my life, like a big breakup or like a career change or something like that, I always feel like it's really grounding to get in touch with my body. So whether that's like a dance class or like a yoga course, meditation or something that kind of grounds me in my physical body. Mm-hmm. I did like Bonnie Boo does dance workshops. She does them in Dublin and in Waterford. And I did one of her Dublin classes and it was just incredible. Just a couple of hours. I went by myself. I met a couple of girls who got by myself. Actually met one of my best friends now at that class. Yeah. And it's just, I think it grounds you and makes it reminds you that there's all different body shapes and sizes and you can feel good in your body and it's nice just to move your body. Like and it's very grounding. I think it makes you appreciate that your body isn't just something for people to look at. It's like a tool you use every day that's useful and you should be grateful for that.
And the fact that it's healthy and you can actually go to a dance class if you feel like going to a dance class. We are quite lucky these days that swimwear brands aren't all about the stereotypical model look, aren't we?
Yeah, there's a lot more diversity now, like for men and women across swimwear. Like there's swimwear brands that have different shapes and sizes for like bikini bottoms. If you're, because not everyone is just like a 12 and your top and your bottom is the same size. You
I
know?
Don't know anybody who's one size unanimously across the board.
But that for years was how bikinis and swimwear was made. Like, so there's a lot more like cup size options now for bigger and smaller. There's like, I was looking at ASOS even for men's swimwear. They go up to like a 4XL and down to a 2XS. So there's a bit more diversity there, even in mainstream brands. I know even people like Penny's go up to size 20 something now. So like, it's, there's a lot more diversity, and then they've obviously got their range for like differently able bodies as well, which I think is really cool. So there's like, it's definitely a positive movement, and there's lots of brands out there. You just have to find them. That's the thing.
Yeah, I know. It's actually like looking for everything that suits your needs.
Yeah, I find I found most of the swimwear brands that I wear by following content creators that are similar like body type to me and then seeing who they tag, that kind of thing. So I think I would definitely recommend people do that.
Nobody can get in the way of a girl on the internet. She'll find out what she needs to know. Like being comfortable is key, okay? But like, I just need you to picture the scene now at the minute. You were sitting on a beach, you were covered in another layer of SPF, you've got sand stuck to yourself, you're sweating bullets. What are we doing to make ourselves comfortable?
I actually wrote a full article about this the other day about how to stay comfortable in the heat. But my top tips would be, if you're like that on the beach, I would always have some sort of fan there just to get the air moving around you. I also like, if you're in a slightly bigger body, even not, but just for some people, chafing can be an issue. Like I've always found that like my inner thighs is an issue, especially in the heat, like, or if you're running or doing exercise, that kind of thing. Even just out and about in a sundress, like there's lots of anti-chafing rubs that you can get, like Lanacane or Mega Babe, or I actually use like my Wild deodorant as an anti-chafe. Because solid like creamy deodorant can work as an anti-chafe as well. Like I use that all the time if I forget to bring any.
See, that's a very cheap alternative because it's got double
the
use.
Yeah, you have it anyway. Yeah, so I do that. But you can also wear like bike shorts under like boho skirts, you know, for comfort. But also things like facial spritzes as well can cool you down. And wearing like the right material, like breathable material, because obviously none of us are going to feel our best if we're like turning into a monster because we're so overheated, you know, and sweaty. And
when you're sore. Like, you know,
exactly,
like genuinely
like chafing can, that can, like your own thighs can make you bleed, which feels like a betrayal.
Massively.
But, yeah.
We need to be clear as well, Tara. We're not just talking about, you know, young women. Obviously, that's the point of view that myself and yourself both have. But we just have to get another text that says, I think young men are under a lot of body pressure nowadays as well. It's like you have to look like a superhero. It's so much pressure. It's across the board.
Yeah, 100%. I was talking to someone about this on the phone. My friend does a bit of body positivity and he's a male content creator. And he's coming at it from the side of where he would be quite naturally slim, and he finds it really hard to put on muscle, and he feels quite a lot of pressure, like if he's going out, you know, to have like abs and big, you know, chest muscles and massive arms and stuff like that, because like the media has made us think that that's how
a regular lad is.
Even when you look at it, like the celebrities have even admitted that that's not how they look normally, and it took them months to do that. And when they're not in a role for a superhero movie, like they're you know, gone completely the opposite direction because they're so sick of the diets and the extreme workouts. Yeah. So I would say, like, yeah, there's pressure on men as well as women. It's not just women. It's just obviously my perspective. I understand the most from the female. But yeah, it's just a different type of pressure, I would say, on men.
Let's talk about our inner critic, because that is always the worst, and that's something that everybody suffers from. And your inner voice is, like, it is your biggest critic.
Yeah, I would say that that's something I struggle with, but I've gotten a lot better with in recent years. I think reminding yourself that if you wouldn't say it to your best friend, then don't say it to yourself. Like, why would you be so cruel to yourself? And you have to remind yourself, like, I think looking in the mirror and kind of confronting yourself to say, like, yes, this is my body, and maybe pointing out like one or two things that you like about it, and not just jumping immediately to the negatives is a good exercise as well. But yeah, my golden rule is, if you wouldn't say it to someone you love, don't say it to yourself.
Because it's bizarre.
Yeah.
It's absolutely bizarre, the things that we've said to ourselves over the years, and just accepted it as normal.
And we're all guilty of it. Like, everyone does it. Even if I hear people out, like friends talking to themselves, they'll say it out loud. Sometimes they say something negative, and I've kind of made a point of like saying, oh, I don't think you should talk to yourself like that. You know what I mean?
Because it's literally standing up for your friend and defending them from themselves.
From themselves. Yeah. And they don't even realize sometimes they're saying it.
We mentioned there, I know you were talking about at the very beginning about like taking photos and like, you know, being on the beach and wanting to get, like, let's be realistic. Everybody wants to get that Instagram shot, or maybe it's not the Instagram shot. Maybe it's just for their own albums, but they don't feel comfortable taking loads of photos. Why do you recommend striking a pose and taking those pictures regardless?
Yeah, because when you're older and you look back and you realize you have no photos from those like holidays or family trips or pictures with your kids when they were growing up, you're gonna realize that that's a regret. You should have taken the pictures, because I mean, you will look back at much kinder eyes. Even if you think you look terrible now, in 10 years you look back, you're gonna be like, wow, look at me, I was beautiful, I was alive, I was living my life, I had my memories with my families, my loved ones. So just take the picture. It's like Moira Rose says in Schitt's Creek. You know? You look back with much kinder eyes and think, wow, it was a beautiful thing.
Like, anything to quote Moira Rose, I'm all about.
Yeah.
It's mad though, because it's not even a couple of years. I think if you even leave it a couple of days or a couple of months, you look back on them and you're like, oh God, I was having a great time. And, you know, it was amazing. But I think of, you know, like maybe 10 years ago where like Insta-worthy photos weren't really a thing. And I have photos of me and my friends and we'd gone to Thailand and we look absolutely heinous, but by God, the crack we had, and I'm so happy that we have those photos.
Yeah, the memories, that's it. Like, and also there are practical ways that if you are really adamant that you don't like to be in photos, there are practical things that you can do to make yourself feel better about photos. Yeah. Like, there are lots of people on the internet, content creators who specialize in showing you poses, like if there's certain parts of your body that you're uncomfortable with, how to make them look the best in pictures. And they're really practical, like 10 second videos that you can watch about turning your shoulders some way or moving this way from the camera, and like they work. So I would say, if you're really afraid and you need to build yourself up to taking a picture, I would follow those kind of content creators that give practical posing tips. Like Christina Buzan is one, she's incredible. And just practice. And then if you need to in the beginning, you can take your own pictures. Like loads of celebrities won't let you take pictures, they have to take their own selfies so that they get their right angle. So you can be like that too, to get your perfect angle that you're comfortable with, like, and then you can move on to like letting somebody else take pictures when you feel more comfortable. But I would just say, like, you know, in a year's time, you're going to look back and wish you took the picture. So I would just take it.
Yeah. And also those ones as well, where all the content creators can help you figure out, you know, different poses and stuff. You then will know exactly where to slot yourself in a group shot.
Exactly.
Because you'll be like, no, this is my side. I don't ever give up on it.
Oh, 100%. I know my side. I know where I don't want to be too close to the camera, that kind of thing. If I've got tiny little friends beside me, I want to be further back. You know what I mean? Because I'm tall. So
the amount of like prom photos I have, quote unquote, because we both have the same side, no one's given in. We're both the same way. We look great. I don't care about it. We just have to get another text in here, Tara, that says, do you have any advice for someone who has the shelf after two C-sections and struggling to accept my body now? Obviously, the shelf that she's referring to is just the pouch over your scar.
Yeah.
But would you have any advice for that person?
I would, if she's not already following the Birds Papaya, I would follow the Birds Papaya because she's a mom creator. She has C-section scars and she has the shelf, as we call it. And she's great inspiration. I would also just find a swimwear that suits you. Like, obviously, like high-waisted swimwear is incredible for that kind of thing. If you want to hide the scar, not that I think you need to. Like, there's no shame in it. There's going to be a ton of other mothers on the beach who are going to respect that, like, and know exactly the struggle that you've had with that.
Yeah.
Also, you shouldn't be ashamed of it. Easier said than done, obviously, but... it's about finding what works for your body and what you're comfortable in. I love a swimsuit that has a little cutout that doesn't necessarily, it's not a bikini, but it gives the illusion of it and it's still not showing too much. That's my kind of go-to.
And you feel confident
in
it.
Yeah, I feel confident in it, yeah.
I know it's probably very hard as well to accept that this is your body because it's changed after giving birth, but you gave birth to two beautiful kids.
Yeah.
And that is absolutely incredible. Yeah. I think we forget that sometimes.
That's the thing. That's the whole body acceptance movement is kind of about, like, you don't necessarily have to say, oh God, like, I'm so obsessed with my body, it looks amazing. But what you do is about appreciating what your body can do and what it's done for you and what it does for you every day. And obviously in this case, like you said, like, she's been able to create two lives, and she's still taking care of herself and she's doing all the busy things that mothers have to do. Like, so it's kind of a battle scar. It's amazing.
Tara, let's talk about, you know, we know how to speak to ourselves, we know how to speak to our friends, but what about if there are family members or friends who are speaking to us in an unkind way?
Yeah, I have had issues with this before, just like going to dinner with friends and suddenly the whole topic is about, oh, I need to be good, which I don't really like as a term.
Hate
anyway.
Labeling good and bad.
Yeah, exactly. But I think we get it from all those sort of like weight loss companies, you know, that have SINs and stuff like that. Like, it's all a lot of negative language around it. But yeah, like, people have gone around a table and they're talking about how they need to lose X amount of weight before the summer or drop this dress size. And I'm kind of sitting there like, didn't we come here to eat? You know?
Yeah. I mean, no carbs before marbs was a whole movement there.
Yeah, exactly. But I think you have to kind of be intentional, like, and not contribute to that conversation and maybe be quite clear about your boundaries. Say, okay, like, this is a bit boring. Do we have anything more interesting to talk about? Like, surely, because we're, you know, whole humans with lives and goals.
Maybe we can talk about what holidays we're going on instead.
Yeah, exactly. Or maybe just say, guys, like, I'd rather we not talk about weight at the moment, like, if you don't mind.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be rude or harsh. Like, it's just you saying, I'd rather we not talk about that. And, like, your friends or your family should respect that. I know that family is usually a harder issue. Friends are obviously a lot more quick to respect your boundaries. Family, it can be ingrained from, you know, decades of negative food talk and that kind of thing. But like, I've had conversations with my mother before about that kind of thing. And she, you know, has been quite open after I've explained why I feel a certain way. So I think all you can do is have frank, open conversations. And then be strong with your boundaries. Like, if people disrespect them, then maybe you spend less time with those people if you can.
Tara, like, social media can kind of convince us to do absolutely anything. Like, we'll pay €12 for a bar of chocolate now because we're all obsessed with it. We're like, and now that whole green colour has taken off and it's bleeding into like smoothies and our clothes and everything. You put pistachio in front of anything and people are mad about it.
You wouldn't want to be allergic to pistachios.
No, yeah. I know. But it can change how we think about everything. So what's your approach to controlling what's on your platforms?
Yeah, so I think this is a really big thing. And you'll be surprised how responsive social media is once you tell it what you want to see. Like, I've curated my feed so that I see bodies that look like me or bodies that aren't just like classic model stick thin, like diversity of all kinds on my platform by following a diverse group of content creators, by searching like diverse hashtags, you know, like I'm always looking up like mid-size style or plus size style, body positivity, that kind of thing. For inspiration, to see if I can find someone new to follow. Also, if I see something that comes up that I don't like, I'll tell Instagram.
Not interested.
Yeah, I'm not interested in that kind of content, so that then it knows not to serve it to me. I would say Instagram's probably the most responsive. TikTok is a bit more...
TikTok's a bit all over the shop.
Yeah, you don't, like, it doesn't respond as quickly.
But in saying that, you can still find so much great content there because there's millions of people on it.
Yeah, there's so many inspiring creators for whatever body type like that you have, whether you've had, you know, a mastectomy, whether you've got scars, maybe you have like a psoriasis flare up, like, or it's about your body shape. Yeah. Like, there's so many content creators creating specific content that will inspire you and give you practical tips on how to feel your best, because it's just great to see someone who looks like you doing something that maybe you thought you couldn't, you know.
Tara, I cannot tell you how much I appreciate you coming in and chatting with us this morning. It was a lovely chat, and also we've got a really nice text message here from Gronya that says, a very inspirational guest there, Laura. It's true when she says everyone has their own insecurities, nobody is perfect, and hopefully there's a lot of teenagers listening into this segment. And as much as we would love to mould the next generation who are coming up to be like, lads, you're unbelievable, enjoy the moment, I think we also need to mind our own generation too and be like, guys, come on, we've been doing this our whole lives, it just, we need to start enjoying our lives now.
Yeah, 100%. That message is so nice. Thank you so much.
No, it's no problem at all.
Thanks, Gronya.
Tara, thank you so much. That was travel and lifestyle writer Tara Povey.
2FM Mornings
with Laura Fox.
Podcast.
Sponsored by Maxall. From kids' lunches to tonight's dinner, you'll find bags more to get you through the week at Maxall.